I don't think anyone that buys a trawler is buying a boat. They're buying a lifestyle. They're buying a way of life that they see as exciting, adventuresome, and it is more about the adventure than it is even the boat they buy, I think, in many cases.
Welcome to Trawler Talk, the official podcast of Passage Maker Magazine, the long-range cruising authority. I'm your host, Editor-in-Chief Jeff Moser. If this is your first time here, welcome. And if you're a returning listener, thanks for coming back. Before we get started with today's podcast, I'd like to thank our sponsor, the Anacortes Boat and Yacht Show featuring Trawler Fest, May 16th through 18th in beautiful Anacortes, Washington. This year's show features an impressive in-water selection of new and pre-owned boats of all sizes from your favorite brands, brokers, dealers, and exhibitors, all in one place. The event will also feature Trawler Fest's first-class seminars and demonstrations, which begin on May 14th, as well as opportunities to share adventures with fellow cruisers, industry experts, and your favorite Passage Maker editors. This is an in-water show not to be missed, brought to you by the Northwest Marine Trade Association, Active Interest Media Marine Group, and the Anacortes Chamber of Commerce. Adventures begin at the Anacortes Boat and Yacht Show. So for more information, please visit anacortesboatandyachtshow.com. Now, here's our podcast. That quote you heard at the top of the podcast is from Bob Arrington, longtime Trawler Fest seminar instructor, Passage Maker columnist, and of course, trawler owner. My idea going into the Trawler Fest Stewart was to sit down with several exhibitors for longer conversations, but that was quickly dashed when I began to realize that it was seemingly among the busiest Trawler Fest that I've been a part of. I actually had to catch up with Bob about a week after the Stewart Show commenced, as we were both really busy during the event. But I wanted to give Trawler Talk audience a sense of the excitement on the docks and the seminars at Stewart, so I improvised. With the mic in my hand, I spoke to exhibitors and seminar instructors on their thoughts about the Trawler Fest experience. One thing I can tell you, and you'll hear it coming up, if you haven't been to one yet, you're really missing out. So remember, there are three per year, so I hope to see you in Anacortes, Baltimore, or Stewart. Now, here's our podcast. So I'm sitting here on the flybridge of the Aspen C-120, and I have the principal of Aspen Power Catamarans with me, Larry Greff. Larry, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good. Principal, huh? I think of myself as an engineer-inventor guy. Also a boat nut.
Okay. Well, any title you want to have, it's fine by me.
Good.
But I've been seeing you here for years. Tell me about your history with Trawler Fest.
So one of our first years with Aspen, we did the Trawler Fest show in Anacortes probably 12 years ago. Been doing it ever since.
That's
one
great.
Of our main shows. The Trawler Fest and Passage Maker people are a great group and put on the classes and everything. It's really hard to find that kind of training and you know, people that have passion for boating are really what you guys have in your classes. I love it.
Yeah, you summed it up pretty well. That's what you get here at one of these boat shows. And honestly, I'm saying this without hyperbole. I haven't seen the docks as busy this morning as I have any Stewart Trawler Fest I've ever been to.
Yeah, no, it's been busy. It was just bumper cars. You know, if they were floating docks, they'd have been sunk.
Oh, man. So when you're looking at Trawler Fest and all the years you've been doing it, what's changed? If anything,
you know, I think there's more people kind of getting prepared to do the Great Loop. That's become kind of used to be something you heard about occasionally.
Okay.
And I bet half the people we talked to today are dreaming about doing the Great Loop and having a huge adventure. And we've got Aspen owners that have been doing it, and they say it's kind of like three things. The people that you do it with are fabulous. The places you see are fabulous. The scenery is fabulous. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a really neat community event for them. So the Great Loop's good. And then the others want to just keep going and go out to the Bahamas and have some adventure in life. Life's too boring.
Yeah. You know a lot about adventure, don't you, Larry?
I've done a few fun things, you know. I had three good ones last year.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I see you got your Carbon Cat next to us.
We do. That's been a huge hit. You know, lightweight, tender, that runs well, it's stable, and it's dry.
Yeah. So what do you see? We got the docks now. The seminars are happening now, but there's still a fair amount of people. Like, what do you see for future in Trawler Fest? What do you think, if anything's missing, what do you think we can have here in the future?
I think you need more food.
More food. Okay.
You know, I mean, that's the only thing. I had two hot dogs for lunch, and I didn't have time for anything else. I mean, that's kind of a small complaint, but you know, but the girl that served it was great.
That's on you, the food, but we can get you some more food.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here, and we'll see you for the rest of the weekend, and we'll see you out in Anacortes. Is that right?
Yep, for sure.
All right, thanks, Larry.
Bye.
Finally, I got a hold of the man, the myth, the legend, the OG of Trawler Fest, Jeff Merrill. How are you doing today?
Feeling much younger now with that introduction. Thank you, Jeff.
Well, we really appreciate your dedication to us. You've been doing this for how many years?
My first Trawler Fest was in the year 2000. I started with Nordhavn at the end of last century in 1999. And every year I've been to at least one Trawler Fest. I'd say the last 15, I've been to all of the Trawler Fests.
Well, we really appreciate you having us here. Us having you here. Listen to me.
No, I'm glad you put this event on so I can meet all my old friends again.
Yeah. So tell me about, okay, let's go back to the year, let's go pre-Y2K. What was that first Trawler Fest like?
It was new for me. I came from sailboat builder Pacific Seacraft, and the guys at Nordhavn approached Pacific Seacraft about building their Nordhavn 40. Okay. So I got to know the build of the Nordhavn 40 in Fullerton, California, and then I left Pacific Seacraft. Jim Leishman called me up and said, we'd like you to come work with us. And I said, I'd be happy to, but I don't really know anything about powerboats.
Got it.
Pacific Seacraft was doing the 38T, and I said, this is great. And so I went to my first Trawler Fest to help promote the Nordhavn 35 that I became the project manager on, and got to see this lifestyle, and it's a lifestyle. For sure.
Yeah, and you've embraced the lifestyle with your own, you hung your own shingle when?
I started JAMYS 14 years after being with Nordhavn, so I started in 2014, so it's been 10 years, a decade of JAMYS.
Wow, congratulations on that.
Thanks, yeah.
Yeah, sure, and okay, let's talk about Trawler Fest. What have you seen over the years that has remained the same?
It doesn't really matter which trawler you're on, and defining a trawler is very loose. The people are the same, and the people are amazing. It's the people who own these boats, the people who are in this business. Mm-hmm. I love the camaraderie. I do have competition with some of the other brokers, but we all work together. The people who own and operate the boats are amazing. It's really, family is an overused expression, but it's a community that is unparalleled. I haven't seen that in sailboats. I don't know about sport fishing or mega yachts. The owner-operator people are phenomenal people.
That's great to hear. Yeah, we have a captive audience here. I mean, we have so much interest in these boats, and we have these, not only the seminars, but we have the boat show. How about the seminars? Are they still the same rabid audience for information?
What I love is when I come to a Trawler Fest, I meet a lot of new people and I meet a lot of familiar people. But the new people coming in keeps growing.
Yeah.
So this is a booming segment of the market. Mm-hmm. The people are thirsty for information, and the internet has made it very easy for them to get that information. They can validate it by meeting you in person and seeing the boats in person at Trawler Fest. So you give them a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah, we really do. And the three of these a year, maybe it's not enough. Maybe we need to do more, huh?
I wrote down at one point, I think I've been to 15 different venues for Trawler Fest.
Yeah.
Florida has been in Melbourne. It's been in Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to put myself on the spot because my memory's not as good as it used to be. But this is a good location. I wish we had room for more boats here, though.
Yeah.
The market's back. People want to buy boats.
Yeah.
The brokers want to put the boats in the show. That COVID thing is delayed or stopped for right now.
Yeah.
So there's a huge demand to get on these boats. Good turnout at this show. I'd love to have more dock space and bring more boats in.
Yeah. So that's a good point. Regarding that, I talked to some other people, and we thought that, you know, the COVID spike we're gonna see a lot of boats for brokerage, and that really hasn't come to fruition, has it?
I'm seeing it. So I think what you're talking about is the supply and demand of COVID.
Yeah.
Everything was sold, and buyers couldn't get boats, and they were paying probably more than they should have. Supply and demand.
Yeah.
We knew that people wouldn't keep those boats forever. It's been 2 or 3 years, and we're starting to see that rebound or that relapse. More boats are coming on the market, and I see it's building. I think it's ramping up. I think it was hectic during COVID.
Yeah.
I think the hectic days are starting to arrive again.
Well, that sounds like good for us.
It's good for us.
Good for business. But thanks again for your time. We got a boat full of people here, so I'll let you go.
Jeff, great talking to you. Great seeing you. Thank you for having me on.
All right, pal. Take care.
All right, see ya.
A relatively new comer to Trawler Fest is Nimbus Boats, and I'm here with the Vice President of Nimbus Boats North America, Justin Joyner. Well, Justin, we're really glad you could join us today. Looks like you have three boats here. Why did you guys want to come to Trawler Fest?
Well, Jeff, as you know, I've been associated in one form or another with Trawler Fest for better part of a decade
now. Yeah.
And I've always been just so enamored by the process that Trawler Fest takes customers through from a due diligence perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And when a customer has no knowledge of how to buy a boat, you can come here, you can learn about it. And from there, you come down to the docks and you explore boats for the first time.
Yeah, it's really nice to have the docks and the seminars all in one spot. Have you got a chance to duck in any seminars or see what's going on over there?
The seminars are great. I was on a panel yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Essentially, how to buy a boat. Mm-hmm. And I was the new boat representative on the panel. Uh-huh. And from a product positioning perspective, we have two types of boats here. Yeah. We have our coupes, which are very much more the traditional excursion type boat that people would be either looking to do the Bahamas or do the Great Loop or anything in between.
Got it.
And then the riskier entry for all of us is actually this outboard boat we're sitting on, the C-11. Mm-hmm. And it's just hard to ignore what's happening as a trend in the market. All these boats that are being sold with outboards, it's just exponential, the growth.
Yeah.
So this boat, being our commuter, has two cabins on it, mm-hmm. lots of space to do the exploring. By chance, you can go 60 miles an hour if you want to in this boat.
This is not just a day boat. This boat, you can do some serious coastal exploring.
Absolutely, and you can cover a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Steve Zimmerman, in one of his discussions in the seminars yesterday, puts up a great graphic about how far you can go in 8 hours. Mm-hmm. In a traditional displacement boat that can go 8 or 10 knots, it's a small circle.
Yeah.
If it's a boat that can go 25 knots, bigger circle. Well, mm-hmm. what if you really want to cover ground, right?
Yeah. Seems like we have less and less time these days to recreate, so this may be a good choice for some people, wouldn't you think?
And we're seeing it in our sales numbers. This 11-meter boat, this 41-foot C-11, mm-hmm. is just been a tremendous seller for us. And we have people that are buying it to do the Great Loop.
Yeah, this would be an excellent boat for that.
And you might look at an outboard boat a couple years ago, doing a Great Loop in a boat like this, mm-hmm. but I think there's something here.
Yeah, yeah. So, how would you summarize? We got our docks are really crowded now. We're ducked up here in the bow. I mean, there's just a good audience at these things, looking to buy or looking to move up or move down.
It's a crowd of curious boat shoppers. Mm-hmm. You have everything from people that have never bought a boat, mm-hmm. But are very serious, to people that have had lake houses but now want to figure out how to boat in salt water, mm-hmm. to people that have had fish boats but now want to find a boat that they can sleep on and retire on or anything in between. So it's as busy as I've ever seen at a Stewart Trawler Fest, it's a really important demographic for the boat industry as a whole is. You know, what do you do after you've graduated from the day boat?
Yeah. Well, on that note, something coming out of Sweden, maybe making it to the United States next year. You want to give us a little sneak peek of that one?
Sure. So you're referring to our 465 Coupe, mm-hmm. which coincidentally just this week, the prototype left the factory, mm-hmm. and we'll be down. We had to keep going south through the Sweden countryside till we found open water this time of year.
Of course, okay.
In February, and it'll be out in the North Atlantic over the next couple months, sea trialing, and we expect to have our first boats hitting North America in 2025.
And she's an explorer, isn't she?
She really is. She's a lot of sleeping space inside, but it's built to be a very capable. Category B, you know, offshore, do the exploring, excursion type boating.
Yeah, well, Nimbus Boats enters another market. It looks like they're entering the big boat market in North America here with that 465, and we're looking forward to seeing it. And looks like we got some more people coming on board, so I'm going to let you go, and thanks for your time today.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
Okay, bud. So I'm here today with Steve Zimmerman of Zimmerman Marine, the founder of Zimmerman Marine, and him and his company have been doing Trawler Fest for over 2 decades. So why don't you tell me, like, from the time when you started doing your exhibits and you're doing your seminars, what's changed since Trawler Fest started?
What's changed? Maybe I could start with what hasn't changed.
Sure.
It's still full of people who are thirsty to learn, enthusiastic about buying a boat, and they're very focused on the next step in their journey. And that's the appeal of this show. It's not thousands and thousands of people, but all the people who are here are anxious to learn and ready to move forward. I think what has changed, certainly the boats have gotten more complicated.
More complicated, yes.
And I think the market has changed post-COVID. It's been harder to find boats, harder to get inventory in available for shows, and harder to help people find boats.
Mm-hmm.
That's a difference.
Okay. Those are probably good problems to have, I would say. But let's touch about what you said about the audience. We got people that come here specifically, either they own trawlers and they want to, you know, go beyond the reef, or they're looking to maybe start their lives on a trawler. Is that what you're seeing?
Absolutely. And the spectrum of classes, whether it's cooking or how to navigate a lock or how to buy a boat or how to cruise Canada.
Yeah.
It does accommodate people from a wide range, whether you're currently cruising or whether you want to cruise.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bulk of it seems to be people who want to get into it. But there are, as you said, people here who already have a boat and they're looking to expand their knowledge.
Yeah, that's what I've been noticing too. And it looks like we've got a little over 20 boats here this week, and that's pretty much we're at capacity for this marina. I really am looking forward to seeing you at these Future Trawler Fest events in Baltimore and here in Stuart. What do you see in the future for this? Do you see these? You think trawlers are going to stay as popular as they are now?
You know, the big question we all had was there was a surge of buyers with the COVID's appearance.
Yeah.
And then everybody thought that post-COVID there'd be this surge of people selling those boats.
Yeah.
But that hasn't happened. It seems to have brought a lot of people in to boating, and that seems to be sticking as a long-term thing. So it's a healthy thing for our business and for Trawler Fest that there are just more and more people coming in.
Yeah, sounds that. All right, Steve, well, thank you for your time today, and have a good rest of the show.
All right, thanks so much.
Okay, great.
Adventures begin here. Anacortes Boat and Yacht Show featuring Trawler Fest, May 16th through 18th in beautiful Anacortes, Washington. For more information, please visit anacortesboatandyachtshow.com. Now let's get back to our podcast.
I was lucky enough to get Patrick Knorr from Dynamic Marine Systems out of his very busy booth just for a quick chat. This is the third year you did Trawler Fest with us?
Yeah, yeah. Our company is more than 10 years old, and we are from the Netherlands, and we started in America in 2022, Trawler Fest Stuart. Yeah, that's
wow.
So already, this is my third Trawler Fest Stuart, yeah.
Yeah, and so when you first came here and you started showing your Dynamic Marine Systems...
the Magnus Master.
Magnus Master.
Yeah.
What was your expectations for the trawler market?
Yeah, my expectations was very high because in the Netherlands and in Europe, we are market leader with the trawler market with our stabilizers, mm-hmm. because it's really special made for the trawlers. So, yeah, my expectation was high because I know that the market is huge here with trawlers.
Yeah. Okay, so then how have you seen that impact by being at the show and exhibiting?
Yeah, for me, always was Trawler Fest was well known as that's the place you need to be to put a new product in the trawler market.
Yeah.
So my expectations was high, but of course in the beginning, when you come with a totally new product and nobody knows about it, they say, does that work? And then, yeah, you need to explain it. But now after 3 years, I have to say, yeah, with Trawler Fest and Passage Maker, the combination, we did a fantastic job because now everybody in the trawler market starts knowing us.
Yeah, I mean, no one knew anything about the Magnus Master when you came here 3 years ago, but you were also able to have the advantage. Remember last year, you had a boat with the system set up in the Anacortes Marine.
Exact. Yeah. And that is so important. So the first show, when you show it, then people say, okay, I first want to see it. And then later on, you have some boats and cruising, and they help you. And also this show, I'm so glad, Jeff, because we had a boat owner especially came back from Miami to Stuart to show it to other customers, and that's so great.
Wow, that really helps you.
Yeah.
What do you see as the future here in the States for the Magnus Master system? I mean, how are you getting your systems on boats on the East Coast and on the West Coast?
Yeah, we work with we call it DMS service and sales centers.
Okay.
So what we do, if we sell systems, we do it together with a new potential DMS service center and sales center. And what we do, we bring over our people and we train them on the job.
Okay.
And then they get a certificate, and that's the way we want to create more service centers and dealers in America.
Yeah, it sounds good, and we're thrilled to have you here at Trawler Fest. Thank you again for being a sponsor.
No, thank you so much. And the next step is, of course, and that's maybe the last step, or the last step in the way of our next goal is to create, of course, DMS America. And I think end of the year we will start and to have our own people here in America.
All right. Thanks again for being here, and thanks for giving me some time. I'll get back to that booth. You got a lot of people waiting for you.
Thank you so much, Jeff, and it's always a pleasure to meet you.
All right.
Thank you.
Talk soon, Patrick.
Okay.
Last year I had the opportunity to visit Anton van der Bos and Elling Shipyard in Netherlands, and I came away very impressed. And today I happened to see him, quite a surprise, with me here at Trawler Fest Stuart. So this is your second year exhibiting at Trawler Fest.
Yeah, this is the second year. We were in Baltimore before, and a couple of years ago, in actual fact, we were in Ana Cortes, and we want to repeat that as well.
Great. So what draws you and Elling Shipyard to the Trawler Fest shows?
I think the Elling yachts are, it's between a cruiser and a trawler, but the typical public that goes for a trawler, they love the Elling normally, and it can go a bit faster, so they might step over to an Elling, and it's the public that is attracted to the Elling, and that's why we go to Trawler Fest.
What have you been seeing from people coming through the boat, say, the last few days since you've been here?
All are very, very enthusiastic. We had a lot of people today on the boat. It was really good because the people, it's exactly the people that we are looking for and that are looking for a boat like an Elling. So we are very happy with the public that we have seen.
Because the name is not as well known as it is in Europe. In Europe, it's almost like a, for lack of a better term, a household name for boat people. But here in the United States, you guys are in North America, you guys are establishing yourself as a alternative because of the things that you mentioned, the speed and the range. Is that what you think is selling it to these people that come and see the boat for the first time?
I think the safety of the boat, that is a prime thing that we try to communicate. The boat is not so well known in the US yet. We were doing very well a couple of years ago, and we were selling to the US, and the brand became bigger and bigger here. But then suddenly COVID came.
Yeah, of course.
And it was very difficult to travel up and down. Sometimes I could get a special license to come to the US, but it was difficult, so we stopped for a couple of years. And now we have re-entered the market with a little bit more energy even. And because our Russian market disappeared, so now we are focusing fully on Europe and the USA, and that is very good. The spin-off is very, very good. The past half year we sold 3 boats, so we are happy with that.
Yeah. These sold, they were all, what models were those that sold?
One E6 and two E4s.
Wow. And what's your capacity at the yard for building?
We can make 3 E6s per year plus 4 or 5 E4s.
Okay, so I got one last question for you, because I know we're going to start getting busy here again. So what is, looking at the show, what do you see in the future for this market segment and for trawlers and for Trawler Fest?
I think the future market is growing because of people are looking for more for serious cruising, not burning too much fuel.
Okay.
And that is a very important thing, so economy is good. Our particular boat normally cruises at 7.5 knots, which is the hull displacement speed. You can go a bit faster, which is a safety thing. You can outrun bad weather, outrun other things. So,
Yeah, for these call them fast trawlers or something like that.
Yeah, we can call it the fast trawler.
Yeah, what's this? So I'm sitting on the E4 now. So what's the top speed on this one?
The top speed on this one, this has the 600 horsepower. Top speed is about 19 knots.
Wow. And it's at 7 knots, what are you looking at for range?
At 7 knots, you have a range of 1,500 nautical miles.
Wow. And wasn't there, I know you used some fuel bladders, but didn't a bunch of these cross the Atlantic Ocean a few years back?
Yes.
Wow.
Quite some time back we crossed. I was there also. We crossed the Atlantic Ocean with 3 of these. And it took 16 days. We had some fuel in the barrels on the aft deck. The stability of this boat can handle it.
Yeah.
It's one of the advantages of a single engine deep in the keel. So the center of gravity is very low. And if you have some barrels on the aft deck, it's no problem.
Maybe we got to try it again in the future. What do you think?
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to.
All right. Well, Anton, thanks for your time today.
No problem.
Appreciate
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye. Celine Yachts is back, and I'm here with Wayne Goldman, who's the principal of Celine Yachts Americas. You guys came in as a sponsor this year, and this is your first year at Trawler Fest. So tell me, what do you think so far?
It's just great. Passage Maker puts on an awesome show. We've had people on the boat all day long. Mm-hmm. It was nonstop, and we're just thrilled to be here.
Yeah, it's funny you said that, because I was walking the docks. I mean, this is my third year here at Trawler Fest, and I felt like it was, you wouldn't know this, but I felt like it was really crowded. Is there a lot of shoes outside that boat waiting?
We had shoes that filled up the finger.
It seemed like it was really busy. So yeah. Tell me, so what do you think is different about Trawler Fest than some of these like bigger national shows? What are your thoughts from your first day?
Yeah, so I've done boat shows all over the world, mm-hmm. and I've done Miami and Fort Lauderdale here in the U.S. And those boat shows, they're huge, and we get lost in them. And the people that come on board, you just don't know who they're going to be. Mm-hmm. They bring a lot of kids with their cotton candy and gum and the dogs.
Yeah.
here we get real people that are really interested in buying trawlers, and that's what we're all about.
Yeah, they're not just tire kickers.
Not tire kickers at all. And, you know, they may not be buying a boat in the next month or 3 months or 6 months, mm-hmm. maybe 2, 3, 4 years. Mm-hmm. But that's what it takes. Get them lined up and show them the boats and get them to see all the boats here, not just ours, but, yeah. you know, all the boats.
Yeah, we met last year in Anacortes, and you were just going through the process of relaunching Celine Yachts America. So why don't you tell me about that a little bit?
Yeah, so Celine had some issues selling into the United States, and we didn't sell a boat here for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got a lot of things sorted out, tariffs and importing and things like that. And the production of the yard is building up again.
Mm-hmm.
COVID kind of slowed things down a little bit for 3 years.
Yeah.
And now we've started an expansion. Well, we haven't, but the yard has started an expansion of another 200,000 square feet.
Wow.
And they're going to triple or quadruple the production over there with an investor that's putting $30 million into the company for inventory.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really after it. United States, Canada, that's our main market.
Mm-hmm.
We are serious about bringing Celine back and being the premier brand of trawlers in the United States and the world.
Yeah. So tell me about, okay, so you talked about some of the trawlers that you're going to be bringing over in the next year. So what's the size range you're looking to bring over in the next, say, 12 to 18 months from Celine?
Yeah, so our initial build, we have a 54 in build right mm-hmm. now. We've got 260s in build right now. We have 262s in build. We just are finishing up a contract on a 45.
Okay.
And being here on the East Coast, probably a third of the people that come on board are asking about loop boats.
Really?
So we are going to be building a 42 looper boat with a 4 foot 8 inch draft and a 13 foot air draft.
Ah, nice. Do the whole loop.
To do the whole loop. Unobstructed. Yep. And those boats will probably be starting coming off the line in 9 months or so, 9 months to a year.
That's exciting. Well, looking forward to it, Wayne. Thanks for your time today. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. It's great to be here with you guys.
All right.
Thanks.
So, Bob, what did you think of Trawler Fest this year? And Stuart?
It was an exciting event. I think one of the most exciting we've had in a long time. You know, of course, coming back from the slower Trawler Fest during COVID, it was really nice to see the number of people that we had there and the energy that was at the event this year.
You know, I've heard that too, and I felt the same thing. It just seemed more crowded than in years past. Isn't that what you felt?
We did feel like that. All of the sessions, my seminar sessions personally, were full. I know several of the other presenters had you know, full seats, and we even added chairs to some of the sessions. It was really nice to see that not only the number of people, but the level of enthusiasm that everyone had.
Mm. And I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, but what number Trawler Fest was this for you?
Oh, my word. well, if if you date that to my presenting, I guess that goes back 10 years, 12 years that I've been presenting. And, you know, as an attendee, Dory and I were going to Trawler Fest in the early 2000s, late 1990s, early 2000s, when we were dreaming of living this life ourselves.
Oh, that's great. So, and what do you think it is about Trawler Fest that attracts, you know, attracted you then and still keeps pulling people in that want to, you know, either considering buying a trawler or have bought one and want to do these big trips?
I don't think anyone that buys a trawler is buying a boat. They're buying a lifestyle. They're buying a way of life that they see as exciting, adventuresome, and it is more about the adventure than it is even the boat they buy, I think, in many cases. Obviously, some of the boat brands, you know, market that heavily in selling the lifestyle. And I think that really appeals to a lot of people, whether it's the loop, whether it's circumnavigating or anything in between, it's the lifestyle they want to live.
Yeah, and you could see the boats firsthand, and that's a big part of it too. And not only the seminars that you described earlier, but having, you know, a bunch of boats in the marina that you can get on board and, you know, see how these systems are set up and, you know, the pilot houses and some of the other areas on the boat, that really helps the people that haven't got on a boat yet to really envision themselves in that position, you know?
I think that's critical. You're exactly right. If people have an idea, maybe based on boats that they've had or being on other friends' boats, but weekend boating and vacation boating is very different than the prospect of living aboard and spending extended time on a boat. And being able to sit in the salon, stand in the galley, be in the cabins below and seeing what they feel like and really, you know, could I see myself living on this and spending extended time on that? That's a critical piece of Trawler Fest, and being able to compare differences in layouts between a raised pilot house or a flush deck or those styles of boats, a sedan versus a trawler, I think is real important for people. And I think they get a lot of benefit from it.
Yeah. One thing I always check out is the engine room. I like, how can I get outboard of these power plants, or how much room do I need for certain things? I think that's an important part too.
It is. And people are so different in that regard. I mean, clearly there are a lot of trawler buyers and enthusiasts that take maintaining their own personal boat as a source of pride, and they enjoy doing it themselves. And that engine room and access to all of the machinery is going to be really important to them. And there are others, maybe the minority, but there are others that don't ever intend on doing the work themselves. They're going to write a check and take the boat to a boatyard, and maybe that's a little less important to them. So the trawler buyers come in all flavors.
Either way, we're there to suit them. So thanks again, Bob. Good talking to you, and we'll see each other soon, I hope.
I look forward to it, Jeff. Take care.
Once again, we'd like to give a shout out to our sponsor, the Anacortes Boat and Yacht Show, featuring Trawler Fest, May 16th through 18th in beautiful Anacortes, Washington. This year's show features an impressive in-water selection of new and pre-owned boats of all sizes from your favorite brands, dealers, brokers, and exhibitors, all in one place. The event will also feature Trawler Fest's first-class seminars and demonstrations, which begin on May 14th, as well as opportunities to share adventures with fellow cruisers, industry experts, and your favorite passage maker editors. I'll be there. This is an impressive in-water show not to be missed, brought to you by the Northwest Marine Trade Association, Active Interest Media Marine Group, and the Anacortes Chamber of Commerce. For more information, please visit anacortesboatandyachtshow.com. Thank you for listening to Trawler Talk, the podcast of Passagemaker Magazine, the long-range cruising authority. If you enjoyed this episode, please do us a favor and go ahead and click that 5-star rating. We would really appreciate it. And if you're not a subscriber to Passagemaker, it's easier than ever to get our magazine delivered to wherever you lay your head. Just go to passagemaker.com/subscribe. This episode of Trawler Talk features post-production from Nate Gruka at Active Interest Media. For Passagemaker Magazine, this is Editor-in-Chief Jeff Moser. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, fair winds and safe travels.